Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who has laid up for you the crown of righteousness, the crown which he will give to you and all who believe on that great day. Amen. All scripture is God-breathed. That inspired word which the Holy Spirit has prepared to keep us prepared comes from Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. This is the word of the Lord. We pray, Lord, keep us ever ready, steadfast in your word. Amen. In Jesus' name, to all who fear and love that precious name. Taking an important exam can bring about different experiences for different people, especially if it means whether or not you will graduate. We're talking about the final exam here. For the student who has studied, who has paid attention in class, who's done the homework, who's read the textbook, this day can be a great day. It's a day which leads to that graduation celebration. But for the student who's not prepared, who slept through class, skipped the homework, not opened the textbook, this can be a bad day, a day to be feared. In either case, the day is coming, and the real question is whether or not the student is going to be prepared. The great day is coming. For those who are proud, who are unprepared, it's a day of great fear. For those who believe in Jesus, however, it's a day of great rejoicing. For all is a day to be greatly remembered. I can recall bad experiences with exams, especially in college. In college, I reached this point where all of a sudden they weren't checking homework. And I thought, great. I thought this was great. I spent a lot more time with friends or sports or different things and kind of ignored the homework. As that final exam got closer and closer, I began to get a little more nervous. The less and less prepared I was, the more and more I tried to distract myself with something else, and then at the last minute try to cram it all in. Needless to say, it was not a good day. Within each one of us is a natural knowledge that the final exam is coming. And yet, for so many, it seems they already know the answers. And really, they know nothing at all. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. They really didn't do the homework. They really didn't pay attention in class. Instead, they relied on their human reason to prepare them for this great day. U.S. News reported in 2000 a poll that was taken on who really believes in hell. It was revealed that about 60% of Americans believe in hell, and of those 60%, most believe it's either a place of fun or a place of purification. They really have molded God's true identity into something a little more like us, a little more less holy. And we end up with an evangelical preacher like Rob Bell, who says a loving God could not condemn anyone to hell. But what sort of Jesus does this leave us with? A Jesus who did not really suffer our condemnation? Who did not really face an eternal separation from his Father? A Jesus who is nothing more than a good example, a way to improve this world we're living in? It's really a failure to take the homework seriously, to really open the textbook and see what God says. It leaves a person distracted and unprepared for what's coming. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave neither root nor branch. The final exam is not about big sins versus little sins. It's not about enough goodness to get yourself through to the next level. It's not about comparing answers. It's really about the great sin. The sin that makes us fail. Pride. Pride is what distracts and defines the wicked. It changes hell into a place of fun. It refuses to ask for help. Refuses to admit that we're lost. And it waits till that last minute to try to cram in enough works to get by. But it's never enough. And it's pride that damns the wicked to hell forever. Because in that day there will be nothing left. There will be neither stump nor root. There will not be any of these supposed little good works that we do that will survive when God truly reveals what holiness is. All that will be left in God's presence is going to be Christ, and all who trust in him to get past that final exam. For that great sin of unbelief, that great sin of pride, it makes that day a day to be feared. How could we possibly prepare for such a day? For such an exam? After all, we've admitted there's nothing we can do to really make ourselves ready based on our works before God. If pride defines the wicked, then what defines the righteous? What defines that other group of people who don't go to hell? It's really about knowing nothing. It's about realizing we know nothing and knowing God knows everything. That's what prepares us for this day. The opposite of pride is humility, and it's what God's law brings to us. It's what makes us ready, and it's what reveals then moves us to believe in the gospel. It's what makes the last day a great day, a day for you to rejoice. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. As Proverbs says, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The images of Typhoon Haiyan were unbelievable. If you had a chance to watch the news and see the devastation that took place in the Philippines, you would think the end of the world had come. To lose a child, to lose a parent, is perhaps the greatest pain that I think I could imagine in this world, and it happens to so many people. But it's not God who laid this evil upon us. It is sin. It is sin that boards us in for the winter months, that devastates our lives, that curses this world so that it's a place we could never live in forever. It's boarded us in, and it left whole communities in ruins. As those lives were devastated, as those houses, that property, all that people thought important and held so dear were left in ruins, what would remain? For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. God's name is really all that remains in the end. When everything else is torn away, stripped bare, left in ruins by what sin has done, God's name is all that remains. It is what we said last week, the eternal I Am, the name of rescue, the unchanging name of the Lord, which leaves hope in the midst of sorrow. Because there's really so much we don't know. There's really no way we can be prepared for the next day in this world. Based on ourselves, we're left with questions that we could never answer. Why did this happen? And yet, when we know nothing, we really begin to know everything. The name of the Lord is what remains. In the ruins, in the loss of a loved one, and the powers of heaven and earth are shaken. It is that name which endures, which saves the child that is lost, which saves the parent that is lost. Because it's in that name where we know Jesus, where the Son of Righteousness rises, where God's name strips himself bare, puts himself into our humanity, rises to the nails of the cross, and dies for our sins. That is the name of the Lord, a name which endured that great day of fear for you so that you pass the exam. You're ready for the day of graduation. And how we long for that day when we see these kind of things happening. How we long for the day when the Son of Righteousness will arise to heal whatever pain you've gone through in your life. To trample it underfoot as the ashes from our last bonfire left a cushy pile of soot and debris on the ground. I poked a stick in that pile last week after the bonfire and it just went poof. That's what's left on the last day. From all the pain, the sadness, everything that would stand in opposition to the Lord's saving grace to get you to heaven is a poof. Never to be remembered because you've trampled it underfoot. And the Son of Righteousness has risen. You'll go out like stall-fed calves. Literally, the English Standard Version translates, you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Literally, you shall kick up your heels. Malachi uses the picture of calves who have been boarded up all winter to show you the joy of heaven. It is as if you are constrained, boarded in by the things which persecute you in this world, your sinful flesh, the devil, the wicked. And on that day, you kick up your heels. You're free from everything. Free from the wicked. Free from constraints of time, of your sinful weaknesses, of money, of abilities, of devastations that a whirlwind of sin would leave in its wake. You kick up your heels for joy because that great day has come. And yet still we're waiting. Still we're bombarded by sin. And what will keep us prepared? When I reached seminary, not only did they not check homework, but they didn't even have exams. When it was a time a person could just slack off and completely forget about doing anything, it was a time for me to do more studying, more work than I had ever done before in my life. Because I knew what was coming. I knew there would come a day when this would impact my life and would give me a chance to impact someone else's life. In that freedom of not being constrained to do the assignments, to study for the exam, I really found the most joy in studying God's Word. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, the statutes and the judgments. That freedom is the joy of remembering. It makes us ready. The law of Moses was in every way designed to point the people to Christ. All the sacrifices, the slaying of the lamb, all were meant to picture the coming of the one who would be slain for our sins. The Ten Commandments, both a revelation of how we've fallen short and also a guide for what is right, for true love toward neighbor and toward our God. Without that word, we're left unguarded. We're left exposed for the next typhoon that will wipe our faith out. Without it, your eyes will deceive you and you'll be unprepared because we live by faith and not by sight. That is, we live by hearing. By hearing the word of God and keeping it. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Jesus would later point to this specific prophecy and apply it to John the Baptist. He would say, John is Elijah who is to come. Because like Elijah, John the Baptist would preach a readiness. He would proclaim the truth of God's law and gospel to make the people ready for the coming of the Lord, for the day of the Lord. And it does so for us also. From father to child, this is what saves us from tragedy. From one generation to the next, we carry on the spirit of Elijah. That precious message of repentance and forgiveness. Wherever the word is remembered, you're ready. Memory work is not just for catechism class. It's not just for children. It's something that keeps our heart ready, keeping that word close to us in every trial and as every tragedy might strike. It really makes us ready, because there we see Jesus, our Savior, and that day becomes a day to rejoice as we remember our Lord every day. Now we can call it a great day, the day of the Lord, which comes to save us. Amen.